Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
All right, what's good, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey. Back again, episode 52? 51? 50-something of the Respect the Game podcast. Back again. Playoffs in full mode. Before we get into that, though, I want to welcome my boy, my god, Abe Schwadron. Abe, what's good, sir?
You, a.k.a. Abraham Lincoln Bio. Playoffs are in full swing. Basketball every night. And if you stay up late enough, you get all the pressers, too. So these are some late nights, early mornings, but the tweets are firing away. The playoffs are a good time, man. This is fun.
I mean, I think, if anything, the last 10 days or so have just proven that basketball is like the greatest sport on earth.
There's nothing better.
From both an actual physical game standpoint.
Do you ever get the occasional hockey tweet bounce across your timeline and you're like, what the fuck is this?
I once tweeted, no, hockey is kind of dope, when I was at a hockey game. I told her, I take all that back.
That's
hockey
is whack. That's like something that you should say out loud while you're sitting there in the stands, and just leave that off my timeline, please.
Yeah, but I had no one to say it. I had no one to share it with.
I guess that's what Twitter is for.
But yeah, I mean, from an actual game, but also all everything surrounding it, like the storylines, and I mean the press conferences have just been incredible to start already. Wait, usually I feel like they take at least a round to really get rolling, but just someone fires being spewed every single night.
This isn't even a new hot take for us. I feel like we said this for a year plus now.
Been saying this.
The pressers are better than the games. The pressers are better than the games. Hot take.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a professional wrestling thing. They're fueling for the next game, match, whatever you want to call it. I love it. I love them. You know, Markieff Morris goes after Paul Millsap, who's probably the nicest guy in the NBA, forcing Millsap to say something.
Or certainly the most soft spoken. Yeah.
You could tell he was so uncomfortable, but he wasn't going to let Markieff punk him on a national stage like that. So I love that he responded.
We got player versus player. We got player versus reporter. We got
player versus coach.
Versus player.
It's great. Fizdale versus everyone. This shit is amazing, man. I love it. But I think the one that definitely captured the most attention, and rightfully so, was Russ against Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman.
It's like round 100 for those
exactly.
Two.
They have quite the history. I guess real quick, I respect the fact that Barry asks these questions. I personally would probably be pretty shook of asking Westbrook an actual journalistic question.
Well, it's not so much the question as the follow-up questions, the insistence on getting the question answered the way he I didn't really get that, to be honest. It's that question answer, probably if you just look at it from him asking the question and Russ jumping in to answer the question for Steven Adams, that kind of makes Russ look bad. And then the more it dragged on, I just felt more and more uncomfortable and made it feel like it made the reporter look bad.
Yeah, but he obviously doesn't care. I mean,
no, he didn't give a
continues
fuck.
To have it, so he's old school in that regard.
I think an underrated hilarious thing of that clip too is if you only watch Steven Adams, he's just staring straight ahead, but then sort of just starts to slowly point at Russ yes, he'll take this question for me, and he's just sort of nodding slowly and emphatically. So if you rewatch the clip, just look at Steven Adams only during that whole thing.
Also underrated component of every single Russell Westbrook presser is his outfit in which he's saying these things. He's coming across so serious wearing the most ridiculous outfits, man.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
But yeah, I mean, what's your thought on that? Was Trammell wrong being yo, the team sucks when you're on the bench? Why?
I mean, dumb. All right, let's just say that was a dumb question. I don't think it was that stupid of a question, but let's just say it was. Much dumber questions get asked in all of those press conferences.
Constantly.
And guys all the time I don't know if it's necessarily taking the high road or more just giving a robotic answer to a robotic or potentially dumb question. It happens all the time. There was really no need for Russ to step in and make it like that. Mm-hmm. That being said, like I said before, I think the follow-ups kind of like made me feel uncomfortable to watch the clip of like, all right, you asked the question, maybe Russ responded in sort of a dickish way, whether you choose to believe that or not, but let's just say he did. Just move on now. All right, like you asked your question, it didn't get answered. Why do you care so much to make it into this huge thing? Like, just give the mic up, bro. Drop the mic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with you. My thought on that is that, like, the NBA playoffs really expose, like, journalists for asking pretty terrible questions from time to time, ourselves included in that 100%. But it's great. I mean, like, I feel like the public gets more of an inside look at what we do. And, you know, sometimes it includes getting blasted by star players.
But this is also why watching the pressers is so much fun, because you really have no idea how the players are going to react to certain questions. For example, someone asked LeBron after one of the Cavs games about Kendrick Lamar's album. Mm-hmm. I feel like if somebody asked Russ that question, or LeBron in a different mood, they could be like, I'm not going to talk about stupid shit during the playoffs. Like, why the hell are you asking me that?
Yeah, and I mean, I also
meanwhile, LeBron answered in a very thoughtful manner.
Yeah, I also think, like, how guys answer questions game 40 compared to how they answer questions game 3 of the NBA, first round of the NBA playoffs, are, like, two totally different things. Like, from Russ, when someone asked that question, he might have just been like, oh, I love my teammates. Like, my teammates are great, blah, blah, blah. Next question. Whereas, like, on this, he's going off. Like, yo, how dare you ever question me or my teammates? Don't ever do that again. So I just think it's interesting. Like, you could feel, like, the intensity and the pressure and, I guess, the gravity of these situations of the games carries over to the press conference.
Yeah, and to your point before, what other leagues are you like, yo, the game's over, but I'm not going to turn this off because I need to see, like, the NBA TV feed of the presser?
I've embarrassingly enough watched about 15 Terry Collins post-game press conferences this season.
It's going to be a long year for you if you're doing that.
Yeah, it's been a miserable one already. But anyway, you know, I mean, so Houston's up 3-1. They're playing tonight. Houston could potentially wrap this thing up. And, like,
dude, game 4, I thought Nene had, like, I thought he was, like, dead.
Yeah, he was definitely, you know,
I mean,
he was definitely looking on the brink of death.
Having seen him up close for a couple years and as recently as last year with the Wizards, he was washed as fuck.
Yeah, and what do you got, like 11 for 11?
He had like 28 points, damn near 30 points in a playoff, in a very important playoff game against Steven Adams, who everybody like said was like the third best player in this series, supposedly, coming in.
I know. I mean, this is both a testament to how good Houston is. You know, it's just not like James Harden, but also like kind of supports the reporters questioning, like, yo, you got to shoot 51 times for the team to even be in a game. Like, that's wild. How do you react to that? So, but I mean, like, it's a weird kind of catch 22 because, you know, Russ obviously went insane this whole season, shooting, averaging a triple double, what have you. But, like, there's no way Oklahoma City is in this position, even in the playoffs. Well, they'll probably be in the playoffs, but, you know, at what, the sixth seed? Or whatever they are? Like,
six, yeah.
Do they even have a chance without him going crazy the entire season shooting 50 times a game if he needs to?
I mean, should we even jump into this whole conversation? Because it's a hard one. I feel like the sort of, you know, more analytical or arguably anti-Russ, like, people out there, the thought is, well, they'll never actually win a series or win a championship playing, like, this brand of basketball where he's just playing hero ball and doing everything himself, even if a triple-double is an impressive thing to average or have in most playoff games, whatever. But it's also, like, my quick counter to that is always that, look at these. Like, Andre Robertson can't even make a free throw. Mm-hmm. The Rockets are clowning him because he can't make a free throw. He was, like, over 13 at the free throw line to start the series.
Yeah, I saw an interesting stat on him on Reddit this morning. He's shooting, like, 50% from three and 11% from the free throw line. It makes no sense.
It's insane. So, and I understand, I do, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of the Thunder teammates' shots are coming at the end of a shot clock or in a tough spot after watching Russ dribble around for a while. I don't know. I tend to fall on the side of, like, I don't know how you look at what Russ is doing and be like, ah, he should be, like, it would be so much better if he, like, passed more. That's just such a, like, elementary level way of criticizing a guy who's doing amazing shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that squad and I'm thinking, like, yo, they just threw like 100 mil at Adams and Oladipo. Like, this kind of might be problematic, you know? If you're stuck with this core so around Russ, like, are you ever going to get over the hump, so to speak?
I mean, yeah. The other thing that's going to be interesting to watch, too, is, like, Russ obviously needs help, period. Mm. But I don't know how many dudes in this league that are that level of help also have a level of mental toughness and attitude where they want to suit up next to him and play with him. Or does he, once he gets some help, does he sort of relax on that whole attitude? So I don't have an answer to that. Obviously, you can, you know, draw your own conclusions from how it went with KD and whether that was about their specific relationship or if that's just how he would deal with another superstar, period. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of bugged out to think, like, just looking at the year Dion Waiters had, like, how much better would they be if they just held on to Dion Waiters?
Wow, it's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. But anyway, let's just hit on a few quick things before we get into this interview mm-hmm. with Wyatt Fanlucci in a minute. So, you know, the Cavs and Warriors both sweep, I mean, with ease. The Cavs, you know, didn't look great defensively, but I mean, peak LeBron is just unstoppable. So
yeah, although I did enjoy the J.R. Smith behind the back pass attempt.
Oh,
at the
yeah,
end
definitely
of
the highlight of the first round
so,
thus far.
So J.R. just so unbelievably J.R. was so great.
But you know, and then in the West, the Warriors just cracked the Trailblazers. I don't think anyone was too shocked by that.
Yeah, with barely with any KD and Steve Kerr being out too.
Yeah, and then, I mean, my main takeaway from that Warriors series is, like, yo, JaVale McGee is, like, what a
hell yeah
career renaissance, which hell we wrote yeah. about in the last issue. But, like, it's unbelievable to watch, man. The guy is, like, hitting the floor, hustling, making such a big impact on defense and offense. I'm really happy for that guy, man.
Absolutely. Anytime you can go from, well, I mean, the shitty thing is in fans' minds, he's forever going to be just the Shaqt and the Fool guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I hope he can do it, you know, in the finals so he can get an even bigger platform to do that.
Yeah, that'd be dope. But anyway, you know, do you see either of these teams being challenged?
No.
Until they play each other?
No, I mean, no.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Warriors roll in 12-0 heading into the finals.
It's just so, like, you know, obviously we watch a shitload of basketball throughout the year and there's nuances and the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference and different styles of play all around the league. But I think it's pretty telling when, like, for example, I was talking to my dad, who doesn't watch a ton of NBA basketball, but the playoffs roll around, he'll queue up the Wizards game or whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, I watched the Wizards and I was really happy that they won. I think this was after game two we were talking. And he's like, yeah, I was really happy they won. And then the Warriors game came on after, and I thought I was watching a different sport.
No, it's crazy, man.
So that's the thing. Like, you get really wrapped up in maybe your own team series, and you're like, if you're a Bucks or Raptors fan, you're like, oh, yeah, like, this is a great series, or my team had to play so well to win game three or four or whatever. And then, like, you casually start watching the Warriors game, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. This is so, why is it so easy for these guys?
Yeah. I mean, the big, you know, elephant in the room here is Steve Kerr's absence. I mean, who knows if and when he'll ever coach again, period. I mean,
yeah.
So who knows what impact it's going to have? Obviously, it didn't really matter in the Blazers series, but I don't know, man. I mean,
well, this is kind of a fucked up question potentially, but mm-hmm.
I love it.
Setting aside, like, the obvious, like, concern for a person's health, right? And a friend of yours, like, if you were Luke Walton, mm-hmm. would you be a little bit like, oh, fuck, like, I shouldn't have taken that Lakers job? Like, if this Steve Kerr thing ends up being, like, career threatening, mm-hmm. you know, that was Luke Walton's job.
100%. And I mean, Ron Nelson brought up a good point yesterday saying that, you know, a lot of the Warriors' biggest success has come with Steve Kerr not coaching. Last year, they started 26-0.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it's just it's something to think about. I mean, I this is not to downplay how good of a coach Steve Kerr is, but when you have a team this good, like,
right,
how
if
much
anything,
does
it
coaching matter?
If anything, yeah, it plays up just how fucking good
exactly
the roster
this,
is.
That,
doesn't, the
that was not meant as a shot at Steve Kerr at all. But you mentioned the Lakers thing, and I actually wanted to ask you what you thought about, you know, it seems like Paul George.
A little pivot here? Yeah. That transition.
It's episode 52, man. We're, yeah, we've blossomed.
You're right.
We
you're
can
so
pivot.
Right.
But I'm curious what you think about, you know, Paul George and the Lakers seem to be heading on a course towards marriage, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah, you can tell what's on the mind.
Jeez.
But, I mean, is this a good look for him? Like, to just, you know, get swept in the first round and then just bounce to a lottery team potentially?
I don't think it's a bad look for him. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a bad look for him? I think if I was Paul George, I would play for the Lakers too. What's going on in Indiana that's so much fun?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on in LA? I mean, obviously off court, but like to think that that team is going to be good in X amount of years.
Nah, I mean, I if I was Paul George, I'd go to the Lakers. Fuck it, why not?
All right,
way more fun. You're on the Lakers. You're, I mean, Paul George on the Lakers. Is that team? Is the current Pacers really that much better than that team?
Who would you rather have, Miles Turner or Julius Randle?
Miles Turner.
Who would you rather have, Jeff Teague or D'Angelo Russell?
Like for the rest of their careers, or for the rest of Paul George's
say
career?
For the next 2 years.
I mean, Jeff Teague, but I think with Paul George, I think D'Angelo Russell could develop into as good or better than Jeff Teague.
Okay, fair enough. But that, you know, the Lakers roster just isn't good. Your boy did a little research.
The Lakers roster just isn't good. That was your research?
Not. I mean, so since the 2012-13 season, which is the last time the Lakers were in the playoffs, they're 91-237, and the Sixers are 75-253. That's like not a huge discrepancy. That's only four more wins a season.
I guess my larger point, is like, what has Indiana done so great that Paul George owes them now?
No, I agree.
What's the
I
best
agree.
Move
look,
they make?
I'm not
bringing
saying,
back Lance Stephenson a second time.
I'm not saying it's a good look for him to stay in Indiana. I think okay. I think, you know, they kind of did him dirty the last offseason by firing Frank Vogel and basically, you know, overhauling the roster, and it just didn't work out. But, like, if you're making this move, this is, for strictly basketball, probably a lateral move, no? Maybe even worse.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that we haven't even touched on is the All-NBA shit that's going to come into play as far as his money goes.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other a whole other conversation, and I'm not sure that he will make it either.
Make an All-NBA team?
Yeah, I don't know. So that's a loaded, this year in particular, it feels like a loaded list of guys. Oh, we don't have to go through that right now.
No,
but,
the wheels are turning, but it's true. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, just over like Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi.
You know what? The more I think about it, I want Paul George in L.A.
Okay.
PG to L.A.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Get him in the purple and gold.
So, you know, that other L.A. team, L.A., the Clippers, are tied 2-2 with the Jazz right now. So, you know, Blake Griffin done. I feel like every year we're talking about a big Clippers injury in the playoffs.
It's insane.
It sucks. I mean, I feel like the Clippers get a lot of heat, but I've always, you know, I like the guys on the team. I like Chris Paul. I like DeAndre.
I don't like Chris Paul.
I like, you know, Jamal Crawford is like universally one of the most liked basketball players ever, probably. But, you know, you kind of just feel bad for them. I mean, look, they could still get past the Jazz in the first round. That's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, Chris Paul is that good.
I feel like every year I come into here, I'm like, yo, this is the year Chris Paul is going to fall off. And then I watch these playoff games. He's the best player on the court by far.
Insane.
Gordon Hayward scored 40 points in one of these games, and Chris Paul was still looked like the better player out there to my eyes.
Yeah, he's 6'1", and he just completely takes games over, man.
He's insane. It's the awesome. Way he just, like, so shifty. And every once in a while, he'll just be like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to just take a three, cash.
Yeah. So, I mean, Doc came out and said that no matter what happens in the playoffs, he's going to keep the core together. But I don't know. Do you think it's things have run their course for the Clippers? I think so, too, man. There's only so many times you can run it back.
Yeah. I mean, just feels like something not only are they probably not good enough, it feels like on top of that, something always goes wrong.
Yeah, it's almost like a karma thing. Like,
perhaps.
Like the ghost of Donald Sterling is just haunting this
team.
I'm
a big believer in karma
this
world.
Me too.
So, man, it could be. You know what's crazy, though? That series is strangely, like, very entertaining.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's just on mad late, so I feel like a lot of people aren't watching.
No, but that's, like, I feel like that's, like, the Cozy Boy series of this first round. Like, I'm, like, can't move off the couch. I'm under, like, six layers of blankets and hoodies, and I'm, like, watching the Jazz Clippers, and nobody else is awake. It's, like, this is the Cozy Boy series of the first round, for sure.
So what do you think the move is for Blake? Like, I think he's got an early termination
definitely
clause
acting.
in his contract.
To
yeah,
go
I
straight
mean,
to Hollywood.
Obviously, but he's in Hollywood, man.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So, but like, I mean, at what point are you injury prone, and what point like freak accidents? There's only so many freak accidents you can have until you're injury prone, right?
Yeah, I mean, he needs a fresh start.
Yeah.
I think
so what's the move? I mean, he ends his contract early. He bounces. And so the Clippers do what? Like, wait for Melo to get bought out by the Knicks and bring him in?
Just wait for LaMelo.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, too. It's only 4 years
away. The Melo Clippers thing seems to be like a sexy rumor, as does the Blake Griffin to the Thunder one. But for some reason, I don't know if those really, like, make sense. Can Blake Griffin play with Russell Westbrook?
I mean, and then also...
Who's a bigger asshole, Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul? If you're Blake Griffin, you want to go from one to the other, really?
True. You might just want to go like to the nice guy squad.
Yeah, just go play for the Nets or something where no one will bother you.
That'd be a hot look for the Nets, though.
It'd be super hot.
That's interesting, though. Like, all these super sexy, you know, rumors almost never come to fruition.
Right.
So, you know, we gotta go back and crunch some numbers and see what's really going to happen.
Crunch some numbers?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Oh, the things I could say. I feel like we hit it all. Oh, you know, this Grizzlies Spurs series has apparently been crack. I've admittedly barely been watching, but social media tells me that it's insane. The game, I missed Saturday night's game, which was apparently one of the best games of all time, if our editor in chief were to be believed. But your boy was out at a birthday party.
Oh, yeah? How
yeah,
was that?
Cozying up, rubbing shoulders. It was all right, man. All anybody wanted to do was ask me about my wedding, though. So I was like, fuck this. So I bounced pretty quickly.
Yeah. Hate to see that.
Yeah, but it was cool. But, yeah, I mean,
Kawhi Leonard, this dude, is he the best player in the – like, has he been having the best playoffs?
No, I think LeBron has.
Okay, fair enough.
But
wait, you don't believe the ESPN article that was like LeBron is – this is it. This is the beginning of the end.
No, I missed
He's
that
falling
one.
Off.
I missed that one. But Kawhi, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like, I'm thinking like, wow, because I kind of believe that this Spurs will be able to make a little run and possibly give the Warriors at least the series.
That'd
now
be
I'm
fun,
thinking,
man.
Now I'm thinking like, do they have enough outside of Kawhi to do so, to even get past the Grizzlies?
I keep looking at Manu Ginobili in that Nene category of, like, how are you – you're, like, 50 years old. How are you even out there right now? I guess it's because he's doing all that geriatric stretching on the bench, like putting his foot behind his head and shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock the legend. But, I mean, Tony Parker is, like, borderline dead.
Yo, it's gonna be super fun and interesting to see, like, this next generation of the Spurs with – when those guys eventually hang it up, although I guess
that.
They may never now at this point. But like,
what about, you know, Blake Griffin to the Spurs?
Well, Aldridge is still there. That's kind of, I guess he could not be there. I feel like Spurs fans hate LaMarcus Aldridge. Is
yeah,
that true?
I kind of get the same feeling. I think I don't know if you recall, but I think it was last summer there was a rumor that he was unhappy in San Antonio, and I think people took offense to that.
He's been unhappy everywhere though. Feels like
maybe he just doesn't like ball.
That's possible, man.
Yeah, it's not the craziest thing. But anyway, you want to talk about your whiz a little bit for 30 seconds?
Not really.
All right, cool. So let's get into this interview. actually, why don't you tell? You did the interview.
Yeah, man. Just, we've been big fans of YFN Lucci for a minute in this office, at least. If you follow any of our social media stuff, Key to the Streets was the music for one of our Kyrie Irving mixtapes when that cover dropped. And YFN Lucci affiliated with the one and only John Wall, speaking of my Wizards. John Wall, who seems to have his ear to the streets because every up-and-coming rapper he knows about before even we do, before the internet does.
What did we say last week? LeBron is the people's champ, but John Wall got the streets on lock.
He really does. He really, really does. I mean, he knew about Dej Loaf before anyone. He knew about Lil Durk before anyone. And YFN Lucci is one of the guys that he was on before anyone too. That kind of put him into our world. And yeah, man, he's just a dope rapper from Atlanta. So had him up in the office and talked some basketball. He's played in a couple of celebrity games. Want to know what his game was like. He actually has at least a tertiary relationship with Colin Sexton.
Oh, word.
Yeah, who's a big recruit. He's going to Alabama. So yeah, man, we just touched on, you know, his overlap with basketball, his new EP that just dropped.
Long Live Nut. All right, cool.
And plenty other stuff. So, yeah.
Let's get into that, and we'll be back maybe this week, but definitely next week. All right, peace.
So how would you grade, when you look at your line on the box score, how would you grade the line?
I don't give a fuck about the line. We lost.
All right, what's up, world? This is Abe Schwadron, a.k.a. Abraham Lincoln Bio.
Yeah.
We're back again, another episode of the Slam Respect the Game podcast. I got a very special guest with me, YFN Lucci, man. Welcome to the show. Thanks for dropping by.
Yo, yo, yo. What's poppin'? This is YFN Lucci, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So first off, we know you just dropped some new music.
Yeah.
Long Live Nut, the EP.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, man. What can we expect?
Well, you know, Long Live Nut, the EP, is a homage to one of my friends who passed away when I dropped my first mixtape, Wish Me Well. And basically, you know, it's full of energy, full of a lot of emotions. You know, it's a great CD though, because I got some of his great artists that he looked up to, like Boosie on there. I got Rick Ross on there. Then I got some younger cats, PNB Rock. I got Dreezy from Chicago. And basically, you know, it's just me again. You know, a lot of relatable stuff on it, and it's very lit.
All right, so the first song that, at least in our office, that we heard from you was Key to the Streets.
Yeah.
You know, we even put that on a Kyrie Irving mixtape that we did, and a lot of people were asking, like, what's that song? So what did that song mean for you in terms of, like, blowing up, getting your name out there?
That song was a big song, first of all, for me, period. I dropped my second mixtape, Wish Me Well Too, on my birthday, February 16th. That's where Key to the Streets came from. Okay. And it was me, Quavo, Trouble. Me the Migos in Trouble. And that record right there, that's like one of them feel good records. You know, one of them, you know, jump up and down, have fun. You know, we got the key to the street. It's a statement song too. Right. And basically with that song, it went number one on the charts. And just coming from where I come from, to have a big song like that, that's big. Number one plat, you know, it's very big.
And then, I mean, Lil Wayne was on the remix, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz.
How old are you? 20? You're 26.
Yeah, 26.
All right, so I'm 28. So we grew up on Wayne, right?
Yeah,
so what
yeah.
was it like to have him and 2 Chainz, for that matter, be on the remix?
Man, that was big. Like my first big number one remix, I got Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz on it. You know, if you didn't know, Lil Wayne one of my favorite artists. So growing up, I remember times like when I had like just started, like just fell in love with all this music heavy. I was probably like 16. I literally sat in the room and downloaded all the Lil Wayne songs, features. If it had Lil Wayne on it, I downloaded it. So just to have him on my song, that felt real good.
All right. So the second time I think that your name popped up as far as for us in the office, we were in New Orleans for the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Okay.
I swear to God, it's a true story. We were walking down the street, and some kid just had a boombox.
Yeah.
And he was blasting some song, and I remember looking at someone that was walking me like, what is that song? This song is dope.
Yeah.
Turns out it was the Dirty Game remix.
Okay.
Bankroll Fresh, R.I.P.
Bankroll Fresh, yeah.
But so tell me about that one, because I'm not kidding, like someone was just blaring it just walking down the
That's
street.
That's dope right there. Yeah. Bankroll Fresh Pops put that together. Like after he passed, he had hit me. He was like, I want you on this record. I'm like, no problem, you know, I can't wait. I pushed up, he let me hear the Dirty Game record, and I was like, yeah, I can't wait to get out of verse. Crazy record, though.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Lil Bankroll Fresh.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little basketball stuff. I mean, first of all, Colin Sexton is a guy that, you know, you posted a picture of him on your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah,
Top 10 recruit. Yeah. He's going to Alabama. Kind of blew up pretty quick recently. So yeah, what's the story between you and him?
You know, I don't have a personal relationship with him, but one of my homies took me to the game. They like, I want you to meet this kid. Great.
Because he's a local guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's in Atlanta. He played for Pebblebrook. And I went to a Pebblebrook game versus Theral, and that's where I met him at. But he didn't actually play in the game. Okay. But I've been looking at his highlights and just, this, you know, he on his way.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's good. And then
the dunk contest was crazy.
Yeah, it's nasty, man. So he's headed to Alabama. What about yourself? I mean, I've seen a couple clips, like super quick clips, photos of you, like, putting up threes. But did you grow up playing ball? Is it just for fun? Like, give me your backstory as far as basketball.
Growing up in the hood, you know, every kid played basketball, football. You know, I played for my high school. I wasn't like a star, nah.
Okay.
But I can shoot. I can shoot very well, you know, and I love basketball. It's just been life.
Yeah, I guess when you could
basketball,
shoot.
Basketball, music, you know.
Right. It's all in the same category, basically. Yeah. But if you're a shooter, like, I feel like the shooting touch is the one thing that doesn't leave. If you're an athletic
kid,
maybe.
You only get better. You only get better, man. Putting the ball in the hole—that's all you got to do.
So, how have some of those? I mean, you put together your own celebrity game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. Me and my brother, YFN Shu Mushu, we played against Young Scooter, BMG. He be with Future. We had a game at Grant Park in Atlanta where I had won the 3-point shootout. I think we actually won the game too. I think. Yeah. We won. No. We went in the overtime. No. We won the game. We went in overtime and we won the game. So we actually won the game, too.
Okay.
It was right before I broke my ankle, though.
Your ankle? Oh, yeah. I did see a couple photos of you with a big cast on.
It'll be a good minute before I be back on that court.
Okay. So take me into those, like, celebrity games. How hard are you going? Like, who are the best players out there? Do you bring any ringers in to, like, all right, we want to win this, too? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We want to win. We don't be having, like, no celebrities, like no real big players right now because it's still local and still, mm-hmm. you know, it was fresh. It was our first game. But we had, like, a lot of people, like, from the hood, like, who been, like, they went to high school ball player. We might have some college ball players come mess around. And, yeah, I'd be on the court. I'd be trying to win, you know. I play my heart.
What kind of player are you? Like, compare your game to an NBA player right now.
To an NBA player? I don't know. I don't want to compare myself to the wrong person. I can dribble a little bit, you know, but I shoot a lot. You know, I post up. I go carry my spot in the corner. Yeah, like shoot it like my boy Curry.
Okay. What about, I mean, I'm sure, like, in the course of doing shows and your music getting bigger and bigger, you've had to have had some interactions with some NBA guys at some point, right?
Man, John Wall, that's one of my main mans right there.
Funny because that's my guy too.
Yeah, we talk. I got his number. You know, that's my man, John Wall. I haven't really met too many players, but you know, Stacks. He retired, but Stacks, that's my man too. Stacks.
So that was my next question. How did you link up with him, Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson and one of my Houston buddies named Ruler. He was telling me, like, by and June James, who made my beats, they were like, Steven Jackson, he fought with you heavy. You gotta go mess with him.
And he's got some music of his own too.
Yeah. I haven't really got a chance to listen, but we posted got in the studio too. That's what it was for.
Gotcha. Yeah. The funny thing about John Wall, I feel like he's always up on, like, new music. Like, he was one of the first NBA guys to be listening to Dej Loaf, one of the first NBA guys to listen to Lil Durk, who I know you've worked with before, too.
Yeah.
So John is on top of his stuff.
Yeah.
All right, and another, I mean, just to go the opposite direction, who are, I mean, You're cool with Dave East, right? Are you
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, yeah. Dave East, man. Dave East got a song. We just did a record last time I was in New York.
And he's crazy. He has a serious basketball background. Like, he played in college.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, I heard. You, he told me that, too. He told me that.
For real. I mean, you might have to get him out there on the court at one of your next celebrity games, for real.
Yeah, I got
to
put that together.
Has anybody else, anybody, like, in your inner circle, any other rappers that you come up against, is anybody, like, a real serious basketball player?
Not really. I got some brothers. My whole, like, my wife, NBC family, like, that's what we big on. We love basketball.
Okay.
We love basketball and football, but... like, we just get together and we go hoop, like, because we all play on our high school team.
Right.
So, you know, never let that die.
Is there, like, money on the line in those games? Or
yeah,
what are
yeah,
the stakes?
We bet sometimes. Sometimes it's just for fun. Just, you know, everybody got their pride. Like, you can't beat
for
me.
Sure.
So,
for sure.
You know, all
right.
I be.
So, who are some of your favorite NBA players right now?
Favorite NBA player right now, Stephen Curry. Got to say my boy John Wall. You know that. Dang, LeBron. Let me see.
That's a pretty good three to start it with.
Yeah, yeah, LeBron. Klay Thompson. That boy can shoot now.
Okay.
Can't leave out Klay.
And then, I mean, I know you're a huge, huge Falcons fan.
Yeah.
But what about your basketball allegiance? Are you a Hawks fan? Do you kind of go around player to player?
I kind of, you know, Hawks, you know how the Hawks do, man. Shout out to Dwight Howard. But, you know, not really.
Okay, so you're
shout
more
out to Devontae Freeman, though. You know, that's my man.
Oh, yeah?
Football. Yeah.
So, wait, so what was, I mean, just quickly as an aside, like, you got to tell me about watching the Super Bowl. That had to be a rough fourth quarter for you.
Rough fourth quarter, man. It was like, you know, I had so much faith in
him. I'm sure.
since the first quarter. So, just watching how they just, you know, they ain't really just lay down. It just, you know, that was Tom Brady. He did his thing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so have you been following the NBA season at all? Like, who, for example, right out the gate, I feel like the question that everybody has to be asked is, who do you think is the MVP this year? Is it Westbrook or is it James Harden?
I haven't really been watching it like that, but I always been a Westbrook fan.
Yeah,
you know?
How
yeah.
come?
I always played with Oklahoma's Thunder's watching the games and, you know, Oklahoma, and Durant. That's they first got me in a way when they was together. You know,
okay.
You know, he was on the team too on Harden, but they ain't
right.
giving that much exposure.
It's wild that all three of them were on the exact like on the same team. I feel like 10 years from now we're gonna look back and be like, holy shit, they were all three.
And now
on
they
the same
all
team.
Like leading. They you know not leading, but they all got their own team.
Yeah, exactly. And then what about? As far as looking towards the finals, you think we're headed for a Cavaliers-Warriors rematch, or you like anybody else out of either side? I mean, John Wall's Wizards are pretty hot right now, too.
Yeah, you're right about that, though. The Wizards have been doing their thing. But you know LeBron, you know how he do it. That's the King James. It might be another Warriors in, you know, Cleveland, and
yeah.
I will be there again.
But you were there last year?
Yeah, I went to one of the games in,
in out in Oakland?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that like? Tell me about that experience.
It was fun. We had like courtside seats, so we were right there, right behind the bench.
I mean, that's got to be like
in the finals. I think it was the third game.
Okay, game
was,
three.
Yeah, game. I think it was game three.
Okay.
Game two. It was June 5th. I know the date. June 5th last year.
I mean, that's got to be crazy. Like, if you told yourself, your 14-year-old self, I'm gonna be sitting courtside at an NBA Finals game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought I'd be doing that. Yeah.
So what was that experience like? I mean, I'm sure
you
saw.
No, it's just different. You see a lot of people. You see, like, a lot of celebrities out there because it was one of the big games. And just being there, though, and everybody, the fans, everybody just so happy and just friendly. So it was just, you know, a good vibe.
Were you hoping that a ball would, like,
come
pop
over
out
by me?
Yeah. You could pop a three.
Yeah, it would have did that. I probably would have took me a shot.
What are some of your like earliest memories of you know watching the NBA? Maybe some of your
when Iverson came to the game back then. You know I was big on Iverson. Iverson had us wearing the sleeve on our arm,
right?
And just trying, you know that he was nasty with the dribbles. You smell me? And Kobe. I remember when Kobe was playing. We scored them on 84 points. That was big. I think it was 84 points, something like that.
81.
Yeah, 81. Yeah. 81. My bad.
And, all right, so as far as music and then basketball, you know, there's always this close relationship, right, between, you know, hip hop and ball. So in your life or your influence, like, how have you kind of seen the two sort of cross over?
It's like, I'm just saying in my eyes, like, you know, growing up, like, in the hood, the only thing, like we think we could branch off to do, like, we don't think doctors, we think about those things, but, like, we more so focused on, like, being a ball player or being a rapper. And all together, it's just, like, it ties together, because when you working out and you know, trying to chase your dream in the ball game, you need music to encourage you. And, you know, the music, you need to watch people like them to just make you want to go hard.
Right.
You get what I'm
Inspiration.
Saying?
Yeah.
So it's just all, it balances out.
Are you, can we expect, you know, on the new EP, any basketball references, any lyrics references, any NBA guys?
Not yet. No, I don't think okay. I get, not on the EP. Probably on my album already. Okay. I got some, you know, some little basketball okay. reference, but not on the EP.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, sometimes I feel like it's people reference a basketball player on a song because it's like they actually like the player.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like, oh, it rhymed, or it was just like a cultural reference. Like, would you make a point of...
Sometimes I done did it when you just name a player that rhyme.
Right.
It I'm going to do it well. You put your own player in it, and you just make it a whole double entendre, a whole crazy
right, right,
bar.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
That'd be the dope part about it.
Yeah. And then...
And it will be Curry if I do it.
Okay, there you go. Breaking news. Have you... As far as... I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're still getting to that point where, you know, you said John Wall was one guy that you connected with. Uh-huh. I'm sure others will come. But what about as far as even, like, online or on Instagram, whatever... I'm sure that, like, NBA guys, NFL guys have, you know, either shouted you out or reached out to you.
I get a couple of acts on Twitter. I can't just name everybody. Like, But, yeah, I do get a lot of sport player fan love. So, you know, that's dope.
Yeah. And then as far as, you know, the album itself and it just, you know, music and your career, like, where can we sort of see you go from here? I mean, hopefully people, if they're listening to this, right after this, they go download the EP or order it on iTunes. And so, like, where are we kind of going with all this? Like, what is the progression of your career in your eyes?
Well, basically, I'm trying to, like, really go, like, the Jay-Z route. Well, you know, like, I love music. Music is everything. Like, but I don't just, you know, how nowadays with the hip-hop, like, some of the music is, like, just full of energy, just make you want mm-hmm. to do stuff. Like, my music still, like, have a lot of substance. Like, it tells what I go through or what somebody close around me going through. So, basically with this, like, I'm just trying to get on my story, build my brand so I can put, like, my brothers on and start my own record label, make it an empire.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you got enough to field the whole basketball team, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so when's the next celebrity game? We got to get some NBA guys there.
April the 8th, matter of fact.
There
I think
we go.
It's the 8th. Or the 9th. No, it's April the 8th, Atlanta, Georgia, Pittman Park. Be there.
All right, man. On that note, just want to say thank you for coming by.
Yeah.
Any last, you know, words, anything
Long
you want to promo?
EP, okay. Man. You know, go get it. We just dropped Ammunition video, YFN Lucci, YFN Trey Pound. Everyday We Lit video coming soon. And we charring right now with Everyday We Lit. You know, we just trying to turn up.
All right. Thank you so much for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, my man.
All right.